Many years ago, Mrs. Maria Rubio was cooking in her kitchen in New Mexico, and she was making tortillas. And suddenly she looked down in this routine process in her life and gasped, because the burner that she was using to make the tortillas had emblazoned in the flour a face. She looked at this flour, this tortilla flour that now looked back at her. She was sure that this was the face of Jesus. And she just stopped what she was doing. She was instantly transfixed, the face of Jesus right in front of her. Well, she was so excited, she went and got a priest, showed it to the priest. He was kind of reluctant, but apparently he blessed this tortilla. Then Mrs. Rubio set this tortilla in a little shrine and started telling everyone that this was a holy shrine and people should come and pray there. And they came. And she quit her job because so many people came. And then every night she would go to the shrine and pray to this tortilla. And she put it this way. She said, "I don't know why this has happened to me, but God has come into my life through this tortilla." Huh. Well, I'm not judging Mrs. Rubio. You've read other stories where people believe they see God in many different manifestations. And I don't know. I've never seen God in a tortilla. That's all I know. But I've seen God. And that's what we think about today as our sermon series about experiencing the Holy One continues. You see, in the human heart, in your heart, is this yearning for God. And not just to know God, but not just to know about God, but to know God. And in this journey, part of worship is experiencing God. And we've talked about how we can hear God. And I told you a powerful story last week about how someone shared, absolutely certain that they had heard the voice of God and the counsel changed their lives. Today we ask ourselves about seeing God. How is it that we see God? In the Old Testament times, it was believed that if you saw God, you would die. God was so holy, so other, so powerful that even to see God would mean you would die. And yet there are numerous occasions in the Old Testament where people reported seeing God. Jacob said this, "I called the name of God Peniel, for I have seen God and my life is preserved." So he notes the surprise that he had seen God and he lived. And then Abraham, Moses, Solomon all had experiences of seeing some manifestation of God in the Old Testament. And then God sends Jesus, and we have in Jesus God in the flesh. God came to earth. God so loved the world, he sent his Son. Jesus walks among us. Jesus is God. If you want to see God, look at Jesus. And here's what Jesus says in this kind of evolutionary process of understanding the character and nature of God. Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." One of the beautiful beatitudes of Jesus. So there we have a clear teaching that some will see God, the pure of heart. Who are the pure of heart? Interesting, one of the characteristics of purity and purity of heart is sincerity. And the word sincere comes from the Roman times. And in the Roman times, let me read what it is written. Ancient Romans dealt regularly with pottery and marble. That was how they made things. And then they sold their wares. But when there were cracks in the marble or the pottery, devious Roman sellers would fill the cracks with wax so that they wouldn't be able to see there was a brokenness. Honest merchants who did not do that, they would display their wares with two words on them, so everyone would know there was no cracks, no deceit, and no brokenness in this pottery or marble. The two words, sina sera, without wax. When you sign a letter sincerely, you're saying without wax, but that's another sermon, I'm guessing. So this sincerity, this authenticity, this honesty is a part of the pure in heart. You can see God, Jesus says, if there's a pureness in your heart, a sincerity, an authenticity, with no mixed motives, we might say. Clearly, we want to see God. The Indiana Jones series of movies, I think, are very powerful because not only is it well made, are these movies well made, and they're action movies, you've probably seen one or two of them, but they have in them, a couple of them, this theme of trying to find and see God, the Ark of the Covenant, Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Holy Grail, the cup of salvation from the original Last Supper, it was believed. People yearn to see God, to get close to God. And you do too, no matter how you might say it. Is there anyone here, if you had the opportunity, if I was to say, would you like an appointment to see God? I could set it up for you. Probably most of you, I hope, would say, yeah, sign me up. At the Last Supper, Philip, of all people, one of the disciples, asks Jesus, show us the Father, then we'll be all right. Now get this, it's Philip, one of the disciples, one of the lesser known disciples, but he's at this Last Supper table. Jesus has been teaching, giving last marching orders for the church, telling them he's going to go to his death, he will raise in 3 days. And Philip says, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And you can just see Jesus rolling his eyes. Are you kidding me, Philip? You've been with me all this time and you don't know? You see Jesus, you see God. That's how we see God. So when we look at the life, the teachings, the miracles, the healings, all that Jesus was, we see God. And remember, no other religion, no other world religion that you and I may know about says that. Oh, they have prophets and so forth. But no one says God came to earth, that this is God. But that's our faith, and that's our confident faith because of the resurrection. You want to see God, you look at Jesus. When the bread was multiplied on the side of that hill, the next few verses talk about how the crowd was in amazement. One says, this is the prophet who we expected to come into the world. Jesus shows God's power by multiplying the food. If you want to know about God's character, look at Jesus. If you want to know about God's nature, look at Jesus. If you want to know about God's priorities, look at Jesus. Jesus reveals God. You want to see God, you look at Jesus. We also, in our day-to-day lives, if you're anything like me and the average person, I believe, you will walk along one evening and look up in the sky. You will ponder the great vastness of the universe. And many would say, I sense, I see something of God because I see God's creation, and so I see God. I see the Creator in the creation. This creation, which is so far beyond our imagination. The known universe now is estimated, and I say now because it's going to get bigger as we get better instruments, but now it's known, at least by best estimates, to be 91 billion light years long or wide or big. 91 billion light years, this universe of ours. Remember, one light year is 6 trillion miles. You don't have enough zeros to put on this thing. That's the universe. We look, don't we, at the sky, the universe, the beauty of the heavens, and we say, there's God, because we see the creation and we see the Creator. We also see God in life as we know it, human life. We are made in the image of God. And so we start out as a few cells here, a few human cells on the end of a pin. That's how we begin. Ultimately, we become 100 trillion cells, the approximate number in your body right now, today. We start at these few cells. On that pin is 10 cells. And then we grow into this embryo, this miracle. And how often you have seen this, held a newborn baby, and you've thought, God did this. You see God in the miracle and the mystery of human life. And we just pause and breathe and say, wow, thank you, God. So we see God in Jesus, in the universe, in human life. We also see God in our daily lives if we have eyes to see. God created us with hands. Two hands. And how often we talk about the hand of God. You perhaps used that phrase, surely you've seen it. Number of very powerful quotes about the hand of God. The future is in God's hands. Or, those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. Or, never underestimate God's hand in your plans. And I love how Mother Teresa, that great saint of Calcutta, who spent her life blessing and loving the dying on the streets, she wrote, I am a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world. Yes, the metaphorical image of God having hands, and if we are in the image of God, we have hands. So is it not possible that we see God in the use of the hands God has given us? Have you not seen God at work in the hands of other people? Hands of compassion, kindness, goodness, love, and caring. On that side of the hill, when 5,000 people were hungry, and Philip, here too, is the one who says, we can't do this. It is Andrew who brings a little boy. And this little boy has in his hands what? His lunch. Two fish. Five loaves. In his hands. And Andrew brings him to Jesus and he puts forward his gift of his lunch. What he has, he gives. And it is in that moment that Jesus sees the gift of life. And others, I believe, begin to see how God works through our hands. And Jesus then takes that gift and by the miracle of God's power multiplies it. Although, interestingly enough, there's some scholars who suggest that maybe that miracle happened this way. Maybe when everybody else saw that a little boy with a humble little lunch was giving it, everybody else who had lunch hidden away in their tunic pulled it out and said, well, we'll give ours too. Just a theory. All we know is by the power of God, this gift multiplied. And God worked through the hands of that little boy, and all were fed. You know that we're doing the same thing in our Caravan of Hope. Trinity has announced 3 weeks ago, and we're unveiling even today, reading updates, I hope, in the insert in your bulletin, we'll speak of it later, about the Caravan of Hope with the plan to feed 5,000 people, 5,000 of God's needy, hungry people, on 2 days, September 8th and 9th. The Caravan of Hope. We announced this 3 weeks ago. We have some people now willing to take a leadership role. And just on Thursday night, we kind of got organized. So we've got a little system of who's doing this and who's doing that and so forth. 5,000 people. And we're talking about, well, we're probably going to give a box of food, a lunch box to everybody. So we'll make sandwiches and we'll put food in the lunch box. You know what I'm talking about. So there'll be 5,000 of these. And on that day, we'll be driving to various places near and far to deliver 5,000 of these boxes. But you know what? We don't have any boxes. Actually, we don't have any food either. Actually, we don't have much of anything. Oh, wait a minute. We do, actually. You see, that was Thursday night. And on Friday, one of those team members sent an email and connected to somebody who somewhere else don't know. Yesterday at 3:30, I get the news. This person who knows somebody has said, I want to be a part of this. I'm in the business of making boxes. I will donate 5,500 of these sandwich boxes. Wow. Wow. Do you see the hand of God at work in the giving? Somebody else wants to be a part of the giving that we're going to do, and that's going to keep happening, by the way. We got a whole bunch of more announcements about people giving stuff. I don't know what they are, but I'll be telling you what I do, because that's how it works. You see God in the giving. You see God in how you use your hands. You see God in the kinds of things these images next represent as people offer their time, their talent in blessing other folks. Jesus said to Philip, Philip, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. What had Jesus been doing? He had been healing. He had been feeding. He had been blessing. He had been loving. He had been giving. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing. That's where you see God, in the doing of those works. Have you not yourselves been blessed and moved at watching somewhere, sometime, someone do an act of love or kindness in the name of Christ? And have you not felt, I have seen something of God right there. I know I have over and again. And I covet that for you over and again. A great hymn of the church says, for not with swords loud clashing, nor roll of stirring drum, but with deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes. With deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes. And how do we do those deeds of love and mercy? We take our hands and we offer what we have and we say, here, God. And other people look at that and say, there's God in the giving. There's God in the loving. There's God in the compassion. There's God in the caring. They see God. You see God. And remember, that means that when you do those things, other people see God in you. Other people can see God in you when you offer your hands in the giving, caring, and loving. What a humble thought. That simply by doing what Jesus tells us to do, somebody somewhere is going to see what we're doing and say, that's God. And in our Caravan of Hope, I'm so excited to hear the stories that come back at the end of the day, because people are going to say, I had a conversation and somebody said, are you God? That's how it works. A lovely story is told from the sports world of a women's college softball team. Out in the West, these two teams were playing. It was in the playoffs, not quite there, but in the playoffs. And a senior on one team who had never distinguished herself very much, but was on the team. She swung at a pitch. Her name was Sarah. She swung at a pitch for the first time in 4 years of playing. She's a senior. It's her last year. It's near the end of the season. For the first time, she hits a home run over the fence. Crowd's cheering and Sarah starts running. She gets 2 feet past first base and blows out her knee and is on the ground in utter pain. She crawls back to first base. But for the run to count, and there were two runners on base, it would be three runs. For that to count, she has to circle the bases. Her teammates can't help her because she'd be called out. But then, two players from the other team, disregarding the fact that it means three runs against them and actually would lead to their eventual elimination from the playoffs, completely disregarding that, two compassionate women on the other team go over to Sarah. One on the one side and one on the other. She puts her arms around their shoulders and they walk with one injured leg raised. She hobbles and they get to second base, and with her good leg she touches second base and they walk. And with her good leg she touches third base and they walk all the way home, where she touches home base. And some have said that that was one of the greatest moments in sport, seeing the selfless loving beyond limits. And I imagine that some who saw and some who heard, even perhaps you, in that act, saw God. You can see God, and God can be seen through you.